Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and blessings, blessings and greetings, blessed souls. Welcome to the 29th show of Soul Class. Soul being an acronym for S, 7, O for oldest or original, U, universal, L for laws, alluding to the 7 commandments were given to Noah and his 3 blessed on Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wives, Noah's wife, Nama, over 4,114 years ago, namely 7 useful commandments to connect all of the human family. Number 1, not to blaspheme the Most High with the Most High's name. Number 2, not to commit idolatry. Number 3, not to commit premeditated murder. Number 4, not to steal. Number 5, not to commit adultery. Number 6, not to eat the limb of an animal while it's still alive. And number 7, to raise up righteous judgments upon every land of this blessed creation in this generation's soulful revelation is to promote acts of charity, tzedakah, to upgrade education for every nation, to provide food for the hungry, clothing for the naked, medicine, each one according to their needs, to heal the sick. Very serious matters, blessed soul. Tonight, blessed soul, we hope to have a wonderful show tonight. In a few minutes, hopefully, Colin will be reggae musician extraordinaire, Calvin Christie. I'd like to tell you a little about him. But before we do, blessed soul, let's remember this. This is a type of genre of music known as reggae music, which is an international music. And this music has lifted up so many broken hearts. Reggae music pleads to humanity to get together, every human family, every father and mother, sister and brother. Yet, reggae music itself is a stigmatized genre, and so are the musicians many times are stigmatized to play this blessed music. So I'm welcoming you two blessed souls tonight to join me, your friend and neighborhood Torah activist, Don Jose Goodman, where I plan to interview with the Most High's blessing that I mentioned before, musician Calvin Christie, who is, in fact, featured on a popular CD, Roots and Rights, which is popular right now, has been popular for the last several months in Jamaica. And the CD, Roots and Rights, which the 20th cut is Calvin Christie's sweet reggae music, the CD openly questions the plausibility. Is it possible that the insanity which has taken place in Jamaica in this year of 2000, there were so many innocent people were gunned down by police, government hired guns, and gang guns. Can we really afford to have this go on in Jamaica? Can we afford to have this take place any place in the world, blessed souls? Because what took place in Jamaica is just a microcosm of the human condition all over the four corners of the earth. As well, to talk about that and his effort on Roots and Rights, Calvin Christie is actually in the middle of an important musical project which he will hopefully share with us. And he doesn't want to be just rebranded one genre of music, while at the same time, too, he paradoxically emanates roots reggae to uplift its blessed African people. And for all good peoples of this generation, so I hope you'll tune in, keep tuning in, and give a call if you want at 347-838-8669. Of course, we want to give Calvin Christie the main floor to talk about his music, his inspiration, you know, and also to hope tune in and get the inner frequency of this complex and, in fact, peace-seeking artist. Before he calls in, I'd like to chime in with you, blessed souls. A teaching that helps us understand what is taking place all over the earth, the human condition. We can focus on it. We can focus this as it applies to the African peoples. You can use it to focus on how this has affected the Israelite peoples, the Arabic peoples, the European peoples, the Asiatic peoples, and hopefully Calvin Christie will call in a minute. But let me go on with this teaching, which is based on a teaching from a direct descendant of King David and Solomon, one of the Mitlareli. He is the following teaching from a book called Shar Emunah, the gate of faith. And here's the following allegory, Blessed Souls. And it's known that a father has a young son who's very cherished by him, and he wants to test him with two things. Is his small child developing a certain level of wisdom? Is his small child developing a certain level of knowledge? And is he developing within a certain level of his faithful heart, a certain level of goodness? And if his small son is connected with a true love of his father, with self-sacrifice, so with what can the father test him? So I think we have blessed reggae artist and musician extraordinaire Calvin Christie calling in. Blessed Calvin, is that you?
Yes, I. Blessed love, my Lord.
Shalom, shalom. Well, I just want to say again, with all sin away, our Lord, our God, our Jah, is the Most High Creator of heavens and earth. You know, and I'm in the middle of telling a little story, before we get into your excellent, high-powered, elevated 22nd century reggae music. Not 21st century, 22nd.
Yeah, 22nd century.
You're 100 years ahead of the curve. But let me just finish this teaching, brother. That we have a king who wants to test his small son, and this is applying, I think, to the whole human race. We want to see, does the son really develop with his wisdom and his knowledge and his good heart? So what he does is he places his father in a very distant place, far away from the king's castle, to see how the nature of his son shall develop. Because generally speaking, we know, blessed souls, when a child is separated from his father, and how much more so when a prince is separated from his father, the king, he will have a burning desire to get back to his father, the king. And he'll look in every place, and he'll never run out of energy. But then sometimes that prince can get influenced by foreign influences, and he loses some of that great drive to reconnect with his father, the king. And finally, unfortunately, sometimes that young son, that young prince, that future king, that future lion in the making, forgets about his father and gets lazy and starts to forget about his father and even forgets that he's even connected to royalty.
Yeah.
And so there we see that when the child, which is allegorically speaking of all the children of men, what are we anointed with, Ralph Calvin? We're all anointed with that divine image. And who is our father, the king? Most High. So with that being said, Ralph Calvin, I'd like to go into your music and I just want to mention that, the collaboration, I heard of you on Roots and, like, sweet reggae music, is that, I like the word sweet because that happens to be my middle name in Yiddish. Zusya means sweet or matok.
Oh, shit.
I relate to that song because my middle name means sweet. So what do you talk about that inspiration for that song and let our listeners know, like, when you were given this opportunity to appear on the CD, why this song? And you gave an international message that reggae is all around the world. Please elaborate.
Well, the song, when I get the rhythm, I love the rhythm. I really like the rhythm. So me and my wife, we sit to me around. We were listening to the rhythm. So, I was like playing the guitar along with the rhythm and working out the chords. And once I got it, I was like, yeah, this sound good. So we did it on a kind of vibe a little. And she hummed a line. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And immediately as she hummed the line, I hear what the line should be. Mm-hmm. And I just said, sweet reggae music, make you rock to it. And we just keep repeating it, and that's how we come up. And within like half an hour, I wrote the lyrics for the song and just start singing it, practiced it. Like 2 days after that, I called Mikey and let him know that I'm ready to do my track. And we booked the time. Let's go to the studio, boom, lick it, and it goes. Like about three takes, we're good, my lad. Because, kind of like that to work, so. The whole vibe was just, like certain songs when you get the inspiration for it, you can hear like certain lyrics in your head, you can actually see the lyrics in your mind being written, like somebody writing it, but it's not really somebody really there, but you can see it and you can write the song just like that. Some other song, it takes a little time. You may write two verses or one verse and a chorus, and you have to go chill again and come back to it. So street reggae music is one of those songs where that it just comes right away like that. And then for international, when you say taking it international, we know the impact of reggae music on nations across the globe. It's a universal music that all people of all cultures can relate to. That's why the music is so popular outside of Jamaica.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I know in Israel it's very, very popular. I know because I've heard it in Israel. Of course, I heard it in Paris, New Jersey, and I heard it all over. So let me just take the blessed listeners back a little bit into your history, Kevin. I'm looking at the biography from your MySpace, which people can go to hook up and link up and listen to some of the cuts by Kevin. That you mentioned that you were front man for the sensational machine called The Overdrive, that you catapulted into the Jamaican alternative scene like a Category 4 hurricane. Now, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know that there was an alternative scene in Jamaica. Can you elaborate? I was not aware of it. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, what happened is that, you know, we are close to North America. So even the Whalers early on, I had listened to some Whalers tune. I don't know if people know, but Whalers, actually, their harmony was patterned off of the Curtis Mayfield guys. Then the kind of sync harmony singing that Curtis Mayfield records, the guy, the man that kind of have that kind of harmony. So that North American influence has always been coming filtering through Jamaica, because they used to play a lot of foreign music on the station. So to say that is like all of those different influences, it is in our subconscious. And some people feel it and can bring it out on the outside, while some people don't really know how to bring it out. So what happened is that in Jamaica, rock music is like really getting on in Jamaica now. So what happened in the middle 90s, you have a guy named Gibby, who used to play guitar for 809 Band, and he's a wicked guitar player. So he loves rock, and he did have a little thing going named, who called himself Gibby, which was a four-piece band. A guy named Ace and Bass and Andrew Simpson playing guitar. So they were not the first one, because then you have a group named Black Sapphire, and you have a couple of other cats downstairs. You have a girl named Bella Manley. Bella Manley, you know, she was more like a kind of soft rock pop, country rock pop like flavor she had. And she had a big album in the middle 90s, I think called Ashes on the Windowsill, something like that, in Jamaica. So that kind of influence from Jamaican perspective, meaning the Jamaican artist kind of playing these songs, started to catch on. So what's his name? The guy from Billboard magazine, Timothy White, he's dead now. He had assigned a woman named Elena Human, who was working for Billboard magazine, to come down to Jamaica and see what this was about alternative reggae, alternative music is about. So she came down there in 97, and she did a series of interviews with people like Gibby, people like myself, who had a band then named Calvin Christian Overdrive and was creating some waves. How we had an album released named Higher Ground, and there was a hit off the album. A mild hit, I would say. Not a big hit, but a mild hit called Women of the Century, and we did a video for that. So that was getting a rotation and all of the radio stations in Jamaica, plus the TV station. So she came and she did a series of interviews with Gibby. She followed up with us and some other people. And then it was like a movement creating that was gathering momentum. But then in 99, you know, I decided that I wanted to venture out, which is stateside with the band. And I and the band relocate to New York City with promises that help and funding from some other people here. But when we reached here, everything fell down. Everything fell apart. And after a year being together here as a band, I quit the band, put together a different unit, recorded an album with the unit, played around New York City for 2 years, and that also died. You know, so with that, I decided that I'm not going to go forward with a band anymore as opposed to going forward as a solo act, try get a hit song, and then when the hit song would create a demand for a performance, you know, and that's when you actually put a band together and start gigging. So that's actually what I am in the process of doing right now, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I see here, in the biography on MySpace, that you mentioned something about building Shikari into a potent, socially conscious hit factory. Shikari is the... Explain to the listening audience, what is Shikari?
Shikari Productions is a company. It's like our label and a company in a whole that is owned by me and my songwriting partner called The Stranger. And we have been writing songs together for over 18 years. So what happened is that, you know, we want to have our own label. It has been registered in Jamaica in 98. So it's officially registered in Jamaica, just not registered here in the U.S. yet, you know. So Shikari Production, we have a logo, and that's put on our label, our CD, or the back of the CD, and we're trying to push Shikari as a label that hopefully we'll be able to record other people and put them out on Shikari labels too, you know. So Shikari Production, as songwriters, we hold ourselves as people who have a privilege that the regular masses don't have, privilege to speak in front of a public audience, privilege to even do now talking on the phone, doing a live interview with you that people can hear us. So we want to know that whatever comes out of our mouth, as well as whatever lyrical content we put out there as musicians and artists, it reflects a certain upstanding and a certain respect to society and to humankind. It's like building bridges, you know.
Beautiful. What does the word Shikari mean? Because I have a surprise for you that actually...
Big Game Hunter.
Excuse me?
Big Game Hunter.
Uh-huh. Now, let me... You said Big Game Hunter?
Yes, Big Game Hunter. And we specifically choose that name because we want to make music that sells millions of records. We want to mash up Billboard charts. We want to hit charts national and international. We don't want to just hit some like a local chart and just play and people say, well, yeah, that's Calvin Christie. We want to sell like how you say Snoop Dogg and 50 Cent and Pharrell themselves. How else what would we be doing this for? So within saying that, it's not so much about money, you know, it's about money and access, because if we have enough records, then we can help some other struggling upcoming artists. And if we help them, they in turn can help some other people, and then we will be opening doors for other people, just like all the Marlins and the Burning Spears open doors for us to come now and do what we are doing. So Shikari is saying we are hunting big game. And big game is being able to hit big charts and sell millions of records.
Amen. So I have a surprise for you, Ralph Calvin, that You understand? See, when I, many Hebrew words have penetrated, you know, from the Torah, the, what people like to call it, the Old Testament, I say it's the Eternal Testament. Actually, you have two Hebrew words in the word, in the name of your company, Shikari. And I'll tell you right now what it is. And, you know, you told me you have an Israeli friend. You can check with him. This is coming from the truth. Let the Most High testify for me or against me. But this is the truth. Shikari, let me tell you, she means that. Ka is like, Ari means lion. So your company, which is a big game hunter, should be like a lion. And right. The lion is the king of the jungle. No joke, yeah. Man. This is not, I didn't make this up. So this Shikari has three, it has a prefix of Shir, which means that. Ka is like, Ari, like a lion. And you can, you know, ask anyone who knows a little basic Hebrew. So a big game hunter has to be like a lion and roar like the king of the jungle.
But you see, that's very significant, you know, because we have a logo that, the logo is like, if you look at the logo, it's like an Indian kind of character. And he have a bow and arrow that he's shooting for a target. Now, that arrow that you see is firing from his bow, it is we who represent that arrow that trying to hit major charge with the work that we are producing.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that we are doing musically, there is a reason behind it and there is a concept, you know. We are not just jumping up and just doing things because everybody else has it. We have a concept because we have a goal. We have a specific target that we want to hit. And we just have to keep working and working and working until we hit it or whatever, but we have that focus and we have to just maintain that, you know. So it's very, very, very deliberate, you know.
Beautiful. So I was glad we were able to, you know, bring your vibe, and it just happened to be no coincidence, I believe, that I was able to fuse it with a little teaching from the Torah that you know, every, we have a teaching from the founder, the modern founder, because really, if you look in Psalms 149, verse 1 in Psalms, you see that the Most High will be praised in the congregation of the pious, which in Hebrew means Hasidim, and the father of the Hasidic movement really didn't start something 300 years ago. His name was Rabbi Yisrael Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov. He's really just re-echoing that earlier consciousness that King David, you know, the line of Judah back then, that you know, that the Most High shall be praised in the congregation of the pious. And to me, to be honest with you, Rav Kalman, reggae music is a pious music. It's a music for righteousness. It's a righteous, and, you know, it's a harder road. But you know what? You get to the goal sometimes sooner by going the longer road as opposed to taking the shorter road, meaning the sellout, the sappy, sugary, meaningless music, which, you know, a person eventually, you know, after they go up before the Most High, you know, we're all asked to take account of our doings in this world. And when a person is making socially conscious music, you're in the role of educator. Musician, yes, but the essential thing is educating through the field of communication. In fact, I had a big talk with my mentor, my rabbi, after this blessed Shabbat, Sabbath, this past Saturday, and he told me about the power of music, when someone is performing live, to educate the masses with meaningful music, like sweet reggae music. I know you want to talk about this song that I think is one of your latest works, Rally Back. So can you talk a little bit about Rally Back, Ross Calvin?
Rally Back was the song, was the idea, and the concept was my good songwriting partner, the stranger. He called me and said, "Boy, Chris, I have a tune here, you know, yeah, Rally Back." And I'm like, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah." And so I wanted me here, because he meets a man every time he gets an idea. You know, he first run it by me, and if he have a melody, we work out the chord structure, how it will work and how it will move and stuff like that. And then if it's something good, we say, yeah, we have something good, and we just lick it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we just come up with something totally on the moon and just go ahead and deal with it, and they call me and say, all right, you are the man where I'm going to pass it, and whether it's good or not. That kind of way they were, vice versa. So when they lick it for me, they say, what? That is Richard. So right now when we grab the guitar and we work out the chord structure and thing, and we have the melody and thing, and we just put it in the repertoire for record. So last year, August, we record the drum and bass track over by Aubergine's house in Brooklyn. And the bass player and the drummer come and we just play guitar and we just record the drum and bass. And then we have this Jewish brethren named Congo from Brooklyn, a cool, very cool brethren. Musician extraordinary, you know. And him, we bring him in then the next week and him just knocked out the rest of the track. And trust me, we realize that we have something nice. So right now we just work it right to the end and just press and just master it, mix it, master it, and just launch it as the first single off of the EP, because we have an 8-song EP that's almost finished. We have like one song. Up to today, I was in the studio putting it, doing the finishing touch on a track named Power and the Glory, the vocal track, just finish up that. So within the next month or so, the whole mixing process will be done. So I'm thinking come like the first week in January or somewhere around that, I'll be trying to now do the mastering and hopefully, you know, do the pressing. But I see all of these things, it's really me trying to finance it myself, because, you know, we don't have no godfather, we don't have no sponsors, because we can't get nobody to believe in us, because they feel that, you know, because of music we are doing, it's not really a job. So nobody not really going to invest the money in it like that. And then facing serious economic crunch, you know, and that's what Rally Back is really about. So the song is saying, yo, we are facing serious depression right now in America and certain parts of the world. This is something where we face in Jamaica every year, you know, nothing new. And you find out that there are serious upheavals all over the world. Like last week, you have the serious tsunami in Indonesia, killed over 153,000 people. Just the other day, you have the serious earthquake in Chile that killed thousands of people. And it just is upheavals after upheavals. So people in right here in the U.S. is like terrorist threat after terrorist threat is on the rise. So with all of these upheaval now, it's like people losing their heads. So you have to have somebody to say, yo, we cannot lose our head. We have to stand up and like, view what is happening, but we have to make a conscious decision to stand up and turn this around. If we don't do that, then all we are going to have is pure chaos. And then what? Take the frontier from order, but I'm not looking for that order in this dispensation. I want to live, man, and I want to see other people living and living happy. And all of that is really just a shift of paradigm mentally. It's not so much physical. It's just mental. Just take a little time and reflect. You know, but we talk too much with too much materialistic vibe and aspirations, and then we lose sight of who we really and truly are as compassionate, caring human beings, you know. And our Rally Back is a call to arms to say, look, we cannot lose our head. Somebody has to stand up and steer the ship back. So let's rally back. Let us go on from the hilltop, chopping at the valley like a boom shot, you know. Yeah.
I'm in. Now, let me ask you this. The video, there's one particular scene that I like a lot, that you step in the middle between two people in conflict as a peacemaker.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, I have, there's many visions that I have in my mind. You know, first of all, the you know, who can forget from this video where Bob Marley stood between Ciara and Michael Manley to make peace, you know, as the anointed one of the Most High. And, you know, we have even from the Torah, and I say again, Eternal Testament, not Old Testament, because there's nothing old to me about something which is eternal, that, you know, Moses' brother Aaron, who was the high priest of Israel, it's written that the Israelites actually mourned his passing longer than they would mourn for the passing of the mighty Levite prophet Moses, who took the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Why? Because he would make peace between man and man and man and wife.
Yeah, well, the peacemakers, isn't
it? Yeah, so again, you know, when I saw that video, in the clip of the video where you're, you know, in the video stopping two brothers from, that's what it is, because we're all brothers, you know, that from getting, as the video portrays. Let me ask you this. With this making of this video, you as the artist, the performing artist, what input did you have toward the creation of the imagery of the various scenes? Because it's a very eclectic gathering. It sends a clear-cut message, of course, of rally back. So give our audience what, if they should see that, they should see this video, which you can see on YouTube and get into Calvin Christie's MySpace website. What input did you have in deciding how the imagery should be for this video?
Everything. Everything was about it.
Okay.
Hey, do you want to know? It's like, when you look on the whole thing now, you want to do a video that have a movement, you know, kinetic energy, you know, energy moving around, you understand? But at the same time, you want it to make sense. And you don't want to literalize it too much, as like everything the words are saying, you are mimicking the words. So what I was looking at is how to find a way to bring a certain mass appeal to it, because you are saying rally back, right? If you have the video where you are showing pure black people, then it looks like you are only siding like it's only your people that suffer. If you have the video show pure white people, then people are going to say, weird. You want pure black people. So when you do, you want to bring a white cross-section of the societal groups in the video that showing that it's not only me, well, if you're not getting, you know, Archie, the people who are going to work every day, bus them out, bus catching the train, they are facing hardship. The man who did get this big bonus, all of a sudden they cut now. So certain things, when we don't use the excess money for them, he might have got cut that money. So in a way, he might have seen kind of hardship when I see it. But this song is really about like building from an earthquake like a devastated Haiti, you know. Building from an earthquake back that would devastate Chile. These are serious, serious issues, because you're talking about people's homes, infrastructures, physical buildings that have been damaged. So we are talking about people who actually have to physically build back up these infrastructures, and that is called rally back. So my whole intention now was to show as much live footage is, but whatever live footage is that we could get that show that picture, we kind of go on the internet and try to get some still movements that would depict those kind of that kind of picture that we have in our head. So all I did was convey what's in my mind to the video people, and then now they take it and add their touch to it, and so it's a whole collaboration, but. You know, you as the person who have the video, who want to make the video, you have to have a concept, so you give people a long day, try to fit it as much as possible. So, in the end, you know, we get a good product. And, you know, as I said, money was a big factor, but money wasn't a big factor. Everything has to do with the will to make it happen. So, it's will to make it happen, make it see to finish what we have there, and we try to be as professional in whatever we do as much as possible, you know.
Beautiful. And let me ask you, so when you made, so the song came before the video, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So have you ever conceived from a video standpoint, the video, and then made a song to it, or it's always the song comes first and then the video comes second?
I think the song always comes first, because you all know the video is just a promotional tool, because you can't sell the video so much and get money, like, or you can't sell the single, you know, or you can't sell the CD, you know. But the video is just a promotional tool for people to see images, live images of what the artist look like, you know. Because, you know, some people look at the picture and say, oh, my God, he's so cute. Because my little daughters, them there, when they watch MTV and BET and see some little rapper boy go on. Oh, they're falling over themselves over these little cats, you know. So the video is all about imagery, how you look on TV or how you look on camera and all that thing. So the song really, the song really comes first, and the video, them and kind of the extension of the song, really. So,
okay. Listen, I, if you don't mind, before we go to some of the more modern, your modern compositions, Woman of the Century. Now, what I love about this video in music, in sound, and in the presentation on this YouTube video, which is called Woman of the Century, is that I think it breaks down a serious stereotype that people have had about Rastas, that they're sexist. And before you enter Rastas' coven, I'd like to mention this. Let me just make a public statement. A man can be sexist, and he can't hide behind his faith. He can't hide behind his religion. He can't hide behind his politics. If he wants to put down a woman, then he'll try to hide behind something, but he can't. He's not in the right vibe. He's out of balance. So what happens is, if a person is a Rasta or a Jew or a Christian or a Muslim, and they're being sexist, that's no excuse for them being sexist. They can't turn to their scripture, their faith, their politics. They're just being inhumanly, they're being insensitive to the divine image. I'd like you to comment on that. And again, you know, go into the inspiration of Woman of the Century, which is a beautiful, I mean, you know, I'm surprised the feminists didn't pick this song up and use it as one of their main jingles.
Well, actually, Woman of the Century, after we left Jamaica in 99, the Jamaica Women's Society, I was told through my people from down there that they was using the song as their theme song every International Women's Day that comes around every year. I don't know how true this is, but I was told by that. But as you relate to sexist, you know, I saw even a comment on Facebook the other day by one of my Facebook friends, that the woman was saying, like, asking the question, why is it that everything a man does for a woman, he expects a favor in return, but then the favor is always, like, the expectation is always a sexual one. It really in my mind, I thought about these things all the time. Because, you know, we see this thing that makes man and woman quarrel, you know, a jealous woman or a jealous man and stuff like that. And, you know, when you look at the woman and the disrespect that has been brought up on her by us men, it's kind of really appalling. And why do we do it as men? I really don't know enough, to be really honest. I'm not going to claim to have the answer for it. But what I said, as men, it's kind of really depressing if you was a woman. Look on it. Like, you know, you can't have a male friend without him wanting to go to bed with you, you know. And you really look genuinely as a friend, you know. And that's cool. And we never hear a man go to the station and report that he was raped by a woman, or he was raped by a woman, or he was molested by a woman. We have never heard that he go to the station. But we constantly have women being harassed in the workplace, being, you know, sexual innuendos being thrown at them everywhere by men. And, you know, you look and say, as men, as kings, as we want to pick up a chest and push here, why you know, how do you look at such behavior? You know, how do you justify? I don't know. I love women. You know, I love women. To me, they are the more favorable species in the human garden, and they are really, really fair. And you love to watch them. You know, nice flowers, but disrespecting them and things, that's not one of me. So, me the, what you call it? Me the woman championer. Me champion the cause of the woman. Me worship at her feet. Me put her up on a pedestal, so to speak. That's where Women of the Century comes from. I didn't write one lyric to the song because I wasn't able to make the songwriting session that day. I was home washing clothes and babysitting for my kids. But I was keep abreast of the songwriting, of the song progress right throughout the songwriting that day. And that's how the song came about. It was written by then Overdrive guitarist Robert Sutherland and The Stranger, which is my songwriting partner. So that was when we were in Jamaica with Overdrive. So we recorded on the album, and it ultimately became the big tune on the album that actually helped us get Jesus to come here in 99, you know. So, but the video that you saw where all of the different women in the video on YouTube, I have nothing to do with it. It was another friend of mine who put the video together on YouTube and tell me about it. But we had done an original video for that song that was being played on CVM and TVJ in Jamaica very, very regularly, you know.
Beautiful. I just want to mention that, number one, we see, again, in the Torah that Abraham was told to listen to the voice of Sarah, that Jacob was learning. We learned in last week's portion that we read on the Shabbat that Jacob, Yaakov, who later would be known as Israel, Yisrael, listened to his mother, you know, Rebecca, Rivka, to flee from his twin brother who wanted to murder him. So the women of Israel have saved and preserved the nation of Israel, and I'm sure in Africa and all the nations, the women have always been the nurturers. And let's face it. You know, we men would crumble to the ground like dust if we had to carry a baby 9 months in our belly. I'm blessed to have several Pinckney, my queen, and I remember all those days where, you know, she had the morning sickness and the day sickness and everything, and I remember the struggle before, during, and after the pregnancy. And, you know, I have to respect, because this is a woman who has helped me fulfill the command to be fruitful and multiply. I can't do it by myself. I need a life partner.
You know, so you're disrespectful. But the disrespect comes because of, certain people, the divide and ruler, the conquerors there, you know, they bring that disrespect. Because first, the woman has been desecrated by being and mutilated and humiliated in front of the public. It's not like she was even raped in secret. She was raped in open display. So how you expect she to feel after that? So what do you think now? Women, you have all of these different women groups and women's rights and champion of women, which I happen to be one of them, because we know that a great wrong has been done to our women and still keep doing to our women, because I hear them say, a woman and a man can't have the same pay. Now, you see me, Ras Dan, me as a man, as a human being, me not have no problem whatsoever with a woman who earn her keep, whether she earning more than me or not. Me not have no problem with that. Actually, I should be happy she's earning more than me, because if me would I have more, why would I want to be insecure unless me's on some other stuff, you know, unless my mind is at some other places. So some of the things we see people put out there and get agitated over and get insecure about over, it's really mind over matter. If you love your woman and your woman love you, and the two of them live together within a picnic or whatever situation we have, I'm not having a plan. I'm not putting together. It no matter who is earning who more than who, you know. So to me, I will big up my woman all the time, and I will worship at her feet. She's a woman of all centuries. That listen.
Well, she is our partner. She is, I mean,
yes.
You know, and you have a partner in business. It's 50-50. And, you know, we have actually a tradition in Israel of Kavan that at the time of universal redemption, the woman will be in a higher stage, excuse me, in creation than the man. So,
The man, even though the man play a part in bringing forth that life, but the woman is the one who nurture it. The woman is the one who gives it that tenderness, that touch, and that special treatment. The man doesn't know nothing about that. So in our fairness, she is instinctively far more connected to life and to nature and everything, far more than the man. You know, the man acts like a brute a lot of the time, you know.
Now, you know, original woman, in English we say Eve. In Hebrew, in the oral tradition, her name is Chava, which means mother of all life, meaning because of not the feminine aspect of creation, where she takes the seed of man, you know, and develops it, you know, because you mentioned something before, I want to just bring back to a prophecy in Isaiah 45:18. We said, you know, what happens if we all have chaos? Well, no, we can't have chaos because that directly defies prophecy in 45:18 in Isaiah, who we call in the Hebrew Yeshaya Anavi, Navi Agula, the prophet of redemption, because so many of his prophecies are dealing with the Messiah, the Lion of Judah. And it says in 45:18, the world was created to be a settled place. And woman, you know, is here to help man make it a settled place. It can't be a settled place without the feminine species. Now, you know, we have about 13 minutes left in the show. I want to go back. You know, we were tangential, but I think, that this will help our listeners understand that if they will listen more to your music and invest in your artistic endeavors, the money is going to the right place, not just to help you, but as you testified before, the money will be to help other like-minded artists who want to educate the public. So let's go back to your latest music. You might want to talk about, free fall. Just freely talk about where you see the music is going, you know, and where perhaps other people, blessed souls, are listening can contact you, whether it be, YouTube or MySpace. Talk about, your inspiration for your latest work.
Well, right now, as I said, the main thing is to finish the EP. It's going to be an 8-song EP. I was trying to do a full-length album, like maybe 12 or 13 songs, but finance kind of hampered me because I've been working on this for over 2 years now, you know, and finances are the main thing. But what I want to say is that, look, people who they are listening, you know, they always say, you know, they talk to they want upful music. They want music that's going to motivate and educate and entertain, right? And we are done with all of that. So what I'm saying, the single Rally Bass, you can get that to buy and download on CD Baby, iTunes, Napster, you know, Amazon.com, all of the CD Baby affiliates. You can get the tune to buy. You can either buy it for $1.99. Now you can get a free download. But look, it's not about money. It's about the work being done. And one person passes it on to the next person passes it on, and then that's how me gonna get my reward. Because people wanna hear the song. So we need the support financially from the people, and you know, we want to know that people respect and appreciate what we are doing as creative people, rather than sitting down and waste away our time. We put our energy to work, and you know, this is what we are asking for, because when they contribute, it helps us to go to the studio and bring in a musician and pay him to play on the tracks then. You know, when they contribute, when we play at shows, it helps us to take the train and get back and forth to put gas in the car and stuff like that. So it's a one and watch the other stuff. We give you music that makes you feel irate. You give us a small contribution to make our work, to carry on, to continue our work. And so, the music industry on a whole, I'm not going to really take up no time on that, because as it relates to reggae, we see a lot of, reggae has been negatively criticized for years. I have been in Jamaica for 10 years now, and it was being negatively criticized then, and it's still being negatively criticized now. There are people within the industry who want to bring more formal dealings within the industry, more structured way to do business within the industry. And you have people who are fighting too, to fight those changes, you know, and that's the truth. As it relates to the state of the music is always good. The dancehall music, it's there, and it's playing its part, though some of the artists then kind of come with negative lyrics that depict the negative aspect of the society. But hey, check this. It's like night and day. Night is not so bad. It's just that it's darker, you know. Day is clear because you can see the whole thing around you. But both complement each other. They cannot do without each other. So the slacky tiny dancehall music, what people do, there are people who support this music actually. But it still gives relevance to people like Calvin Christie and the people from the Roots and Rights album and the Lucianas and the Ziggy Marley who are coming with positive music. It's like night and day. But none is not necessarily all bad, because check it, my lad. Now, pure our man act as an individual act, he has some goodness in him. And he will do it at his own time and pace. The good thing, we know the goodness that exists in us, and we want to extend that more than all we want to show the night part of us. So to me, the music, the state of the music is, I would say, it's so much bad. It's just people to recognize that, hey, we have an opportunity to speak on the message, to speak on behalf of people. So even if you speak and defend your mother or family member, you see yourself as doing something that is right. So we kind of want to bring that kind of doing to our everyday life and liberty as much as we can. No man is perfect, you know, can't hear me up there talk and go on like me righteous. Me no righteous. There is not one righteous born in me. But there is not one evil born in me either. You understand what I'm saying? So we are people. Yeah. We are just living every day as is. So, as it relates to the Roots and Rights album now, Mikey has done a wonderful job bringing all of the artists together and getting the music out to where it is. Me kind of straight up, me kind of never like really put me on the album, but that is neither here nor there. My tune is bad, the people don't love it, it has picked up momentum, it win the What's the Verdict contest in Jamaica, like in about Anna Roots FM, and like 99% of the big vote me get, they sent me an email to that effect. Me did an interview with them. So people, we are looking for support. All of these songs are available on iTunes, CD, Baby, Amazon.com. So any support financially that the public who like good music can contribute, is 150% respected and humbly appreciative, you know?
Well, I tell you this, that the money, I mean, I humbly bless you and all of your efforts. We still have 6 minutes to go, that the music should not only, and it is elevating people, because I feel elevated from your music, and that your efforts and all those who are connected to assisting to you, and I mean that, you know, I also refer to your family, your loved ones and your children, that
and
all of them
to that, Electric Dread, wanted a special mention to Electric Dread, because if without Electric Dread, I wouldn't be able to do nothing, because this guy, he has a studio in his house, and he takes me in his house, and every day we are there working, we work ceaselessly, smoke continue making music and getting the pieces down together. And sometimes, you know, we are hungry sometimes, but we're working. And this brethren, I don't have words to say how much I appreciate of his work. His wife, Maria, enough of the time, she will out all day and she come in and she bring hors d'oeuvres, she bring tea, she bring biscuits. And, you know, so I have to mention that. People don't know the behind-the-scenes working that go on when we have the certain things. So we just have to say, my wife, she's very, 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 very supportive of what I'm doing. You know, my brethren, stranger in Florida, songwriting partner, very, very supportive, you know. These people are a power of strength to me. Without them, I wouldn't be able to do nothing, my Lord.
So let's bless up Electric Dread and your queen and your children, because it is an act of self-sacrifice when, you know, daddy and husband are not around as much as they would like. You know, I mean, here myself, you know, I'm, you know, my pickney is sleeping, my queen is sleeping. You know, but there are times when I do this in the middle where I can be spending time with them. And so but focusing on your efforts, you know, that what you are doing is what we call in Hebrew an act of tzedakah, which is not, it's too superficial to say it's just charity. It's an act of righteousness, meaning you're doing what you should be doing as educator, as role modeling on the videos. You know, this is so important, because one of the things that I try to work with, in, you know, in the shows that I'm doing, is that because people are bombarded through the media with negative images, all conflict resolution for the most major media presentations are violent, which is, the violence is the way, is the Roman way, it's the Greek way, it's the ancient Babylonian way. It's not the way we want to go, because it's not the way of the future. You know, we have let me just interject, we've got 3 minutes left, just a lot of time to chime in, that we have a teaching in Israel that we have the wicked, we have those who are kind of in between. They're not really wicked, but they're not fully righteous, and we have the righteous. Mm-hmm. The prophets, the sages are what? So the sages and the righteous are like those who have the vision of the future that they bring into the present. So people can live every moment existentially in the now positive. So the middle people, the Benanim, they are looking towards the teachings of the righteous. So who are the wicked? They think they can change. They want to stay stuck in the mud, so they want to drag the middle people, the Benonim, into the mud, and the righteous in the mud. But no, we don't want the wicked to drag us backwards, because creation's moving forward. The creation's expanding. And reggae music is part of that expansion of this expanding universe by the angel of the infinite creator. 2 minutes to go. Please vibe off what I just mentioned.
Yeah, well, before I go, I should not forget to mention that all of the jocks and all of the DJs that has been playing my music, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. People in Germany, I don't remember all of the names, and people in England, in Jamaica, T-Bone, sorry, man like Dudley Thompson from Roots FM, you know, these people constantly, you know, give me good vibes, and, you know, all of the people that in New Jersey, Patterson, East Orange, Empress Nyanda, Charles, you know, all of the people that up on Rewind Radio, you know, Mikey, all of the efforts that you made to put me into contact with all of these people. Dan, thank you so much for having me on the program, and it's really, really an utter, utter blessing to really vibe with you, you know.
I want to tell you, as I said, my rabbi told me, he said, Don, what you're doing, and I say this, and I made small but these kindnesses, these type of efforts, which I'm humbly moving step after step, and hopefully we're going to get bigger as come with the blessing of the Most High. He said, Don, what you're doing to reach out like this is to bring about, hopefully, universal redemption, because I'm living for the better world. I don't want anything else except a world that's getting better and brighter and more peaceful and more pleasant, because as a youth man, I see the happiest people I've ever seen in my life last time are the people pleasant and peace-loving and helping other people. We've got about 30 seconds. Maybe you want to, if you can impromptu, do a little sing, one of your songs in the 30 seconds left. We'll just end off on one of your licks. Give us one of your licks to end the show on. 25 seconds.
Do you think we would trade our birthright for peace? Give away the land and the violent fears. We will never bow, you can never defeat the covenant we're fighting for. It's the future of my people. Down the lonely road that leads to Gaza, trotting with angels and with seraphim. Stood me for years, Master my Kabbalah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Black Talk Radio. Good man.
Yes,
rock the love.
As we said, Jalov, La Hamshikh to be continued, never to end. Shalom.
Rastafari, bless.